I'm always looking for that story that still makes me gasp, because then I hope my readers will gasp as well. But the notion that people had lived in a sewer for over a year, so there were all sorts of questions about what did it look like, and did they have light, and how did they get water and food and so on.
That's Pam Genoff, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Pam Genoff is the author of several books of historical fiction, including the bestsellers The Orphan's Tale and The Lost Girls of Paris. She served in Europe for the U.S. State Department and the Pentagon, and is an authority on World War II history and the Holocaust. When not writing, she teaches law in Philadelphia. She joins us to talk about her latest work of historical fiction, The Woman with the Blue Star. Pam, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this novel is a work of historical fiction, but it's based in part on true events during World War II. What inspired this novel?
So I'm so glad you used the word inspired. I tend to shy away from based on because I do write fiction. But in particular, The Woman with the Blue Star was inspired by a true story I discovered of some Jewish people who survived the war by hiding in a sewer in Poland. And I don't mean hiding like they ran through the sewer. I mean hiding as in they stayed and lived in that sewer for more than a year. And I was very struck by the story, and I had a lot of questions. And I was taken in particular with an anecdote of a young girl in the sewer who looked up one day through the grate, and she saw a girl her own age on the street buying flowers. And she was so struck by the disparity in their lives. Her mother said to her, "Someday there will be flowers for you." And so I wondered fictitiously what it would be like if the girl in the sewer and the girl on the street had met one another and what that would mean for both of their lives.
Now, given that inspiration, tell us about the plot of The Woman with the Blue Star.
So Sadie is a young woman, and she finds herself thrown suddenly first from normal life to the ghetto. But as our story opens, the ghetto is liquidated, and she and her family, her mother and father, her mother is pregnant, are forced into the sewer. And her situation in the sewer becomes increasingly worse and increasingly isolated. And one day she looks up and she sees a young woman on the street. And that young woman is Ella. Now, Ella seemingly at first glance has a much better situation. She's not Jewish. She's not being persecuted. She's affluent. But when we take a closer look at Ella, we see that she has no one left in her family except for her stepmother, who's really awful and is consorting with the Nazis. And her fiance, who she thought is off fighting in the war, and she finds out is back and has not told her for reasons that become clear. And so Ella, in her own way, is quite isolated. And it's that moment when she looks down and she sees Sadie beneath the sewer grate and decides to help her.
So here we have two young women who have very different circumstances in their lives, and yet in some ways they have things in common.
Well, yes, that's the incredible thing, I think, about writing stories set during the war. You have people, women, who through normal circumstances would have walked a very certain path and never would have met. But through war or other catastrophe, they're thrown off that path, they're challenged, and they find themselves meeting. And so that's one of the really great things in historical fiction, is to have people come together who otherwise wouldn't, and reduce maybe that sense of otherness that we feel.
Both of these young women, beyond the terrible situation they find themselves in during World War II, are also dealing with some relationship issues.
So it's interesting. I'm not sure in either situation that I would think of it as a classic boyfriend relationship in the book. However, I am writing about young women and relationships and, you know, things of that nature were real parts of their lives and would have been. And so, for example, Sadie's in the sewer. She's thrown together with other families. And in particular, one of those families is Orthodox, which she is not. And she finds herself becoming close to the son from that family. And it has its own complications. So I enjoy showing that a group of people, whether it's the Jewish people, the Polish people, were not a monolith. There were different groups within the group, if you will.
So what are some of the themes this novel explores?
Well, one of the very interesting themes for me is isolation. In both circumstances, Sadie's and Ella's, they are in a sense isolated. And it was very powerful to work with that theme of isolation during the pandemic, when, of course, we suffered not at all what people suffered during the war. But last year, we were in a way isolated that we had never expected, we were unprepared for, and we all found ourselves seeking ways to connect. And so that was a very important theme. And another one that's prevalent for me in every book I write is the notion of individual choice and individual responsibility. So I'm not a fan of the broad brushstrokes and the black and white with which history is sometimes painted. And I want to look at why people made their individual choices, whether it's the stepmother to consort with the Nazis or a humble sewer worker to help those in hiding.
Because of the relationship that these two develop under these difficult circumstances, what do you think it is that Sadie and Ella learn from each other?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, they find this kind of friendship and they find this kind of solidarity that I think they had never expected. I think they find strength. You know, they have been put into roles they never could have imagined. And so each one kind of finds strength and a voice in a way that we don't often hear about in history, but was present and is extremely important in this kind of Me Too moment that we found ourselves in the past few years.
I'm talking with Pam Jenoff. The novel is The Woman with the Blue Star. Pam, who do you envision as the audience for this book?
You know, I have a wide-ranging audience. It's clearly written to an adult audience, although I often hear from parents and they say, can my teenager read it? I think, yes, it depends on the audience, but or the family, right? But, you know, they read it. My books sometimes are portrayed as sort of having more of a female aspect, but I really believe, I hear from plenty of male readers, and I really believe that anyone who likes historical fiction, who is interested in the war, and would like to learn a bit while they're being entertained is probably a good candidate for this book.
Now, Pam, I know that you are an expert and authority when it comes to World War II and the Holocaust, but I'm curious about the research that you had to do specifically for this novel.
Well, you know, every book is different, and I had not been able to travel for many years back to Europe. And so I'm used to a wide range of sources, memoir, maps, periodicals, photographs, correspondence, all of that goes into it. Interestingly, for The Woman with the Blue Star, I had planned a trip to Poland for research, but unfortunately, I had booked my plane ticket for March 11th, 2020, and the flights were canceled. So I didn't get to go. But as I had been planning that trip, I was calling upon many friends in Poland. I had lived in Poland years ago, and I still have contacts in the U.S. consulate there. And they had been arranging meetings for me with the sewer expert and some city people and all sorts of things. And when the pandemic hit and I couldn't go, those wonderful friends pivoted for me and arranged those resources and connections virtually, even as their own country was shutting down from the pandemic.
Was there anything that particularly surprised you that you didn't expect to uncover as you were doing your research for the book?
Well, the whole story is surprising, right? So the notion, I'm always looking for that story that still makes me gasp, because then I hope my readers will gasp as well. But the notion that people had lived in a sewer for over a year. So there were all sorts of questions about what did it look like and did they have light and how did they get water and food and so on. And that was all interesting. And so one of the most surprising and wonderful parts of the story is about the real sewer worker, Leopold, who helped these people. And he had been a former thief before he was a sewer worker. So he wasn't, you know, an upstanding member of the community before this. And he took it upon himself to help the people in the sewer. First, they gave him money for it. And when they ran out of money, he kept helping them anyway. And he would have to go to markets at all different ends of the city to get enough food without, arousing suspicion. And he was risking his wife and he was risking his daughter. So I think he was kind of the most wonderful surprise I discovered.
I'm curious how they avoided detection. I'm assuming it wasn't a high traffic area, yet still the risk had to be there.
So it was interesting. A lot of times the Germans wouldn't themselves go into the sewers. They fear dysentery. They, you know, there's rats down there, whatever kept them out. And some of the sewers ultimately wound up being mined with explosives, which would have kept people out. So sometimes the sewer workers through who were helping, you know, were able to keep them out or distract them. And they had a kind of signal with a lantern that if they were going to have to bring the Germans through the sewer, they would circle the lantern so people could hide. Although the way it was set up, they were very trapped. Hiding wasn't a great option where they were staying. But I should also note that detection was just one of the perils. People, you know, people drowned in the sewer. There were floods. There were, you know, the risk of starvation as well as the risk of detection. People who tried to leave the sewer, some of them were shot because the Germans were guarding sort of the outlet to the river. So there were many perils, and detection was just one of them.
The book is The Woman with the Blue Stars by Pam Genoff. Pam, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this: if you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's such a good question. You've caught me there. I would like to spend time. So in my book, we see a woman, and I'm going to be very cryptic here because I don't want to give it away. We see a woman in the present day in the prologue, and she has gone back to Poland for some answers and to find someone. And I would like to sit down with that woman, and I would like to know more about the intervening years. So without saying too much, that is where I would go.
You know, besides being an engaging story, is there something that you hope that readers will take away from this novel?
With historical fiction, I always hope that readers will see people who are unlike themselves in the book. And through empathizing with those characters, they will take away sort of a sense, you know, a sense of empathy, not to repeat the word, for people who are different than themselves, because we have so much, you know, so many lines and divides in our present world and so much of that sense of other, that if reading can eliminate some of that, I think there's value beyond entertainment.
You are an author, a lawyer, a historian, a teacher. I'm wondering how all those disciplines inform each other.
They certainly do in the most wonderful of ways. So first, you know, I am a historian. I have a master's in history from Cambridge. And that was the initial thing that gave me that love of research, you know, dusty archives, as well as the confidence to say, I can complete a really big project like a book. And then, you know, I was an attorney. I teach law school now. And teaching law school and being an author, there's a wonderful sort of symbiotic relationship between those two things. Being an attorney, one of the things it gave me as a novelist is really the ability to revise, you know, to take other people's feedback and incorporate it into your written work. And I'm also able to take many of the things I've learned as a novelist and bring it to my classroom at Rutgers Law, where I teach, and teach my students lots of things about jumpstarting creativity and understanding themselves as writers. So the whole package, it's not typical, but it comes together.
So I'm curious, what's next for you? Do you have another story you want to tell?
I do. You know, it's funny. I'm normally an open book about my projects. Then I was feeling a little quiet about this one, but I realize I've said it a few places. So I am working on a novel that was inspired by the true story of the only known sabotage of a train headed for Auschwitz. And so it looks at both the people who were saboteurs as well as the people who were on that train.
This novel is The Woman with the Blue Star. It's by Pam Genoff. Pam, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.